Our Heavenly Father, here we are again with Thy book, with Thy people in Thy church, and one of Thy servants opening the book to speak from it and teach and preach. Bless us today in a very special way. Amen. If you are here because it's Sunday morning and you don't want to get anything, it's just Sunday, you're supposed to be here, maybe you didn't want to come anyway, I probably won't be able to help you at all this morning. But if you're here this morning and you have the slightest bit of love for God, the slightest bit, I promise you, if you listen to what I'm going to teach you and preach to you, you will love Him more 35 minutes from now than you do now. I want to speak this morning on the subject, God often jumps the gun. He often can't wait. He just can't wait. He's like a child that finds his Christmas presents. I better be careful. I think I'm in trouble. He's like an adult that gets his Christmas presents and opens them too soon. Can't wait. Of course, the child doesn't get his till during the night on Christmas night. We all know that. Some parents are mad at me. I made everybody mad then. I made believers upset because I made unbelievers mad because I'm a heretic. But anyway, I'm off to a horrible start today. But I trust that you'll follow me. I'm going to ask you to use your Bibles this morning with me. And several times I'm going to ask you to turn to a verse and read it with me. So no need to turn now. You don't know where you're supposed to turn. But God often jumps the gun is the title of my message this morning. The word, the term jumping the gun is a track term. When the race is about to be started, the starter holds a gun up in the air and says, "On your mark, get set." He doesn't say go like he used to. On your mark, get set. Then he pulls the trigger and the gun goes off. But sometimes some eager beaver will jump the gun. I think if you do that, what, three times, isn't it? Well, you're not still for once. Who do you think you are? You think you know more about sports than I do just because you're a basketball coach? I mean, least you can do is help my sermon. I mean, but sometimes God can't wait till the trigger's pulled. Sometimes God just does what He does a little sooner than you expect. I probably read and study Luke 11 more than any other chapter in the Bible. I probably preach from Luke 11 here and around the country more than I preach any other chapter in the Bible. It is absolutely inexhaustible. How surprised I was to find another nugget from Luke chapter 11. Follow me as I lay the foundation. Open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I want you to notice that second verse, page 1089 in your Scofield Bible. I want you to read Luke 11:2 out loud with me, please. Just the second verse. It'd be mighty easy for you to keep on going to the third, but let's stop after the second. Ready? "And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth." I call your attention to that second line which says, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Now look down to the 13th verse. The 13th verse. This is the last verse of our Lord's lesson on prayer. The first verse is verse 2. It starts off with, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Now in verse 13, read that out loud, please. That's Luke 11:13. Ready? "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Was I ever surprised and delighted to find that that term in the second line from the bottom, your Heavenly Father. Now bear in mind, in verse 2 it said, our Father which art in heaven. Was I ever surprised to find that that's a stronger word than that? It says, your out of heaven Father. Your Father which is out of heaven. So in verse 2, when you begin to pray, you say, our Father which art in heaven. And by the time you get through, He's jumped the gun. He's out of heaven by then. Why? Because He starts toward me when I start toward Him. We begin our prayer looking upward and end our prayer looking inward. He teaches us in this wonderful lesson on prayer, starting with verse 2, ending with verse 13, 12 verses on prayer, starting off saying, our Father which art in heaven, and ending with saying, how much more shall your Father out of heaven give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him. Now, there's the Lord, what He's saying is, He's saying, if you come toward me, I'll come toward you. I won't wait till you get here. I'll jump the gun. I'll meet you halfway. I'll meet you 90% of the way. I remember, and many of you have heard me tell this little story, when I had my first furlough from the paratroopers in World War II. I was coming home my first furlough, and my mother and I had lived alone for so many years. My sister, of course, lived in a girl's home because she'd been in so much trouble all of her life. But my mother and I had lived alone for so many years. Earlene was married. She married when she was 10. I'd gone to the Army, and I'll never forget the last words that Mother said to me as I left to go to the Army. She said, I had your older sister, Loreen, in my arms, and she died, and my arms were empty. And then I had Hazel in my arms, and she died, second oldest sister, and my arms were empty. And then she said, I had your daddy in my arms, and he left us, and my arms were empty. And now she said, my baby's leaving. I'm the baby. And she said, my baby's leaving, and she said, my arms are empty again. And Mother lived alone in a little apartment, 4109 San Jacinto Street in northeast Dallas at the time. And I came home my first furlough. Mother knew about what time I was supposed to get home. I got off the streetcar on Bryan Street, on the corner of Bryan and Haskell Street. And that was a block from where we live. Mother lives. She lived in the corner there. Little apartment, 4109 San Jacinto, the bottom apartment on the west side. And I got off the streetcar, had my paratroop outfit on, and I was in the best shape of my life. I'd run 10 miles every day. For weeks and weeks, and I was in an unbelievable condition. And I got off the streetcar, looked a block down the way, and my little mama, 100 pounds of her, was standing looking at tiptoeing to see if her soldier boy was on that streetcar. I got off the streetcar, and I saw mama, and I began to run. And I ran as fast as I could, and mama began to run. And I was in the best shape of my life, but she met me more than halfway. Mama couldn't wait till I got there. She just ran and ran. I picked her up in my arms and carried her like you'd carry a baby back to the little apartment place. That's what God is saying here. God is saying, anytime anybody comes to me, I can't wait till you get here. I can't wait till you get here. Our Father which art in heaven, that's the way you start the prayer. And then our Father who art out of heaven, that's the way you end the prayer. There are several things I want to call your attention this morning that I think are so lovely about this little truth. First place, concerning salvation. Take your Bibles and open your Bibles to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13. I want you to hold that and turn to the 65th chapter of Isaiah. I want you to see both of these together. 65th chapter of Isaiah, verse 24. Romans 10:13. By the way, 65th chapter of Isaiah, verse 24, is on page 770. Look for page 770. Your Scopio Bible. Now then, Keep your place in Isaiah 65 and look back to Romans 10:13. I want you to read with me Romans 10:13 aloud. Are you ready? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that a wonderful passage? Whosoever, anybody, rich and poor, young, the old, the learned, the ignorant, the PhD, and the illiterate, doesn't matter. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. All right, now don't forget that. Say it again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, now with that ringing in your ears, look at Isaiah 65:24. I love it. Read it out loud. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? You know what I believe? I believe that most people get saved before they trust Christ. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. I thought you were saved by faith. Yeah, I think this. I think most people, I'm convinced that most people are saved while they're walking the aisle. They're on their way. And Jesus said, chalk up another one, angel. Chalk up another one. Nothing's coming. Well, Brother Heisley can say, I think, you know, God knows what that sinner is going to do. And God sees that person walking down an aisle. The personal worker, all he has to do is explain what happened. Yeah. Yeah. I'll guarantee you, when a sinner sits back there, somewhere in this service, suppose up in this section up here, an unsaved person, and all of a sudden, he's convicted and realizes he's a lost sinner and on his way to hell, and that Jesus has paid the penalty, he can be saved by faith in Christ, and he says, I'm going to go down there and do that. He's saved before he gets down here, I'll tell you for sure. Before they call, I'll answer. God in his mercy has said, I can't wait to write his name in heaven. He gets down here and gets on his knees and prays the sinner's prayer. I want to save him now. Put his name in heaven now. I know he's going to do it. Before they call, I'll answer. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. You start to him this morning. He's looking at you right now. You're here this morning. You never trusted Christ. You're unsaved. You don't know you're going to heaven when you die. He's watching you right now. I'll guarantee you start toward that aisle. He'll meet you more than halfway toward the front. I'll guarantee you. He'll run to get you. And he says, I've been looking for you and waiting for you to come. And like my mama waiting for her soldier boy to come home from the paratroopers in World War II, she saw him and she ran and lifted up her skirt and ran toward her soldier boy. And God looks this morning and God says, I want you to be saved. I want you for myself. I don't want you to go to hell. I didn't make hell for you. I made heaven for you. You, if you go to hell, you will be an intruder. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. You're not supposed to go there. I want you to be saved. I'm not willing that any should perish. Fully on this doctrine that God wants some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God says to you this morning, if you'll come to me, he said, I guarantee you, before you even get the call, Lord, save me. If the Lord would talk out loud to you and say, I just did. God jumps the gun. There's a second time when he does what I said he'd do. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, please. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Page 13:22. Read that out loud, please. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Ready? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wait a minute. You think God will forgive you if you will ask him to forgive you? He didn't wait, man. It says right here. If we what? You say if we ask for forgiveness, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins? No. He said if we confess. I come to God and say, dear God, I got to talk to you about a sin I've committed. He says to Gabriel, put the blood over that one right now. Hold it, haven't even got to do it yet. I go out soul winning sometime, and some person will already know the plan of salvation. They'll want to get saved before I get through. Telling them, nothing irritates me anymore. I was out soul winning not long ago, and a fellow fell on his knees. I hadn't even told him yet that Jesus died for him. He said, I want to get saved now. And knelt, and I wanted to grab him and say, stand up there and let me finish my talk. A fellow called me on the telephone. And I was down in Texas pastoring. A fellow called me on the telephone. And he said, Brother Hiles, can I come over to see you? And I said, well, yeah, but what do you want? He said, I've wronged you. I've done wrong. I've sinned against you. He said, I want to come over and ask you to forgive me. Guess when I forgave him? Huh? As soon as he started the trip. Sure. God said, you come to me. He said, I know you're going to ask me to forgive you, but I can't wait. I can't wait till the gun goes off. God, on your mark, get set, up. I done jumped the gun, forgave you too soon. Yeah, God said, I saw you coming. And this morning, if you sin, you just come to God. And if you're going to ask God to forgive you, and you say, oh, God, I've committed this awful sin. And there's no other kind of sin but awful sin, by the way. I've committed this awful sin. And God says, scratch it, put it under the blood there, Gabriel. And it's under the blood. And I say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. He said, I just did. Why? Because God jumped the gun. God loves you. God says, I'll forgive you. This morning, if you're without Christ, till you walk down this aisle before you get, I'll guarantee you, before you get one step down the aisle, the Heavenly Father will have you in His arms. He knows you're coming, what you're coming to do. He knows by His foreknowledge, He knows what you aim to do. And God says, I love you and I don't want you to go to hell. I want to see you saved. But if you're saved this morning and you've got some sin between you and God, you have to get to Him. By the way, you will get to Him, and He knows if you mean it. And you're on your way to Him, and God, I'll show you a beautiful scripture in a minute about it. God said, okay, you're forgiven. And in heaven, they're rejoicing because you're home before you ever get home. There's a third thing, and that is, turn to James chapter 4, that very famous James chapter 4 and verse number 8. Page 1309 in your Schofield Bible. James chapter 4 and verse number 8. Read it out loud, please. Ready? Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. You say, oh, come to God. No, it's not the thing as you coming to God. You come to each other. You start toward Him, He starts towards you. You're not saved this morning. You start toward God, you won't have to go where God is. He'll be on His way to meet you. If your sins are it's a sin between you and God this morning, and you say, I'm going to come to God and ask forgiveness, you won't get to God. He'll start towards you. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. One time people ask me, say, Brother Hiles, I don't feel close to God. You don't have to feel close to God. The Bible says you are if you draw nigh to Him. I just don't feel like I can't feel His presence. You don't have to feel His presence. As long as you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. Well, how will I know He's there? He said He'd be there. Oh, my soul, what a wonderful God we have this morning. This morning, if you feel like you drifted away from God, you just, well, how do you draw nigh? Just get out somewhere alone and look up and say, Lord, I don't know how to come. I don't know how you get there, but wherever you are, here I am, and I'm going to try to get to where you are. You may even start in the wrong direction, but He'll come around and He'll heard you off at the pass. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants you close to Himself. And God said, I get itchy sometimes. I don't know whether God can have ants in His pants or not, but I just get itchy sometimes. I can't wait. And God said, if you're not saved, just start to me. Somebody said, well, I don't think I can walk down that aisle all the way. All you got to do is start. He'll bring you the rest of the way. He'll meet you. He's there. If you're lost this morning, you just take a step toward Him. And He'll run and He'll meet you and hold you in His arms and say, welcome home, my child. And if you sin this morning, you start to say, Lord, forgive me. But you say, Lord, about this sin I've committed. And He says, and you're forgiven. But Lord, let me finish my speech. Okay, finish your speech, but you're forgiven anyway, because I knew you were going to do it. I'll show you another verse. Turn, please, to Psalm. Well, I won't ask you to turn to this because of time. I love that Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Did you know prayer is the same way? Yeah. Turn to Jeremiah 33:3. You know it, but turn to it anyway. Jeremiah 33:3, page 809 in the Bible. Page 809, Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 33. Oh, I'd love to make you love God more this year. Look at Jeremiah 33:3. Read it out loud, please. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I love that. You come to God in prayer and say, Lord, I want to talk to you about something I want. And the Lord starts giving you stuff you don't even know you want. Didn't say, call unto me. People say, listen, I'm going to claim this, the prayer promise. I'm going to ask God for something and claim this. You can't claim this one to ask God. Oh, you can if you want to, but this verse does not tell you that you ask what you want and God will give it to you. This verse tells you if you'll just call unto Him. Just say, hey, God, how you doing? He starts pouring stuff out at you. He says, I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God says, I want to give you stuff. Anybody here ever have a present for somebody on Christmas and you were excited about it, you couldn't wait till Christmas to give it to them? Anybody do that this year? Well, sure. You got the credit. And boy, you can't wait to see how they look. And you look at that present and you look at them. And before Christmas comes. Anybody here ever get by an engagement ring and plan to give it to her a month from now and give it to her tomorrow? Sure you did. And God does that. God says, look, I got something for you. I got some things I want you to have. Come on, get it out. Get it out. Ask me for it. Oh, you said, boy, if you just talk to me, I'll just give it to you anyhow. Yeah. God's not a legalistic kind of a God. God's not a robot. God's not a vending machine. One morning I got up early in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I was in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I was there on a eating trip. I was in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I own some stock in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Thanks to Brother Bordway. I own some stock. In fact, my interest I make on that stock every year, this year was $1.05. I am part owner in Hershey Company. This ain't no cheap guy you got up here, folks. And once in a while, I go out there and tell my workers, get busy. I got to make more than a dollar and nickel next year on my own. But I was in Hershey, Pennsylvania, preaching right next door to Harrisburg. Went to the Harrisburg airport early one morning on a Wednesday morning. Had to get back to the college chapel. And early, it was dark and as early as plane leaving. About 5 o'clock in the morning I got there. And I was going to call Ms. McKinney. And I was going to tell her what time I was going to get in. And she said, why didn't you call her that day before when it wasn't early in the morning? Because I want to get her up. If I'm awake, I don't want anybody asleep. So I called her. But first, I put the money. Back in the days, you couldn't just call long distance without putting a nickel in or dime or quarter. So I put the money in. And then when I hung up, the money started coming. It kept on coming. It just kept on coming. And, I mean, it overflowed that little cup down there. I had it in my hands, overflowed my hands, overflowed my pocket. Anyway, and I did exactly what you would have done. Same thing. I looked to see if anybody's watching. Now, don't get mad at me. That's the same thing you'd have done. And they were. But anyway, God's that way. God says, I can't wait to get it all to you. I just can't wait to get it all to you. I want you to have it now. Listen, I'm not saying if you're a worldly Christian, you went to a nightclub last night, and you live like a devil and sing like a devil and dress like the heathen crowd, and God's anxious to get you stuff. But if you're a Christian who walks with God and God talks to you and you fellowship with Him, there are times that you're about to ask for something and God said, I got it here. I want to see your face when you open it. Take it now. Our Father, which, hold it, don't leave. The morning I did that, and half the crowd left. About 5 to 12, I said, Our Father, which art in heaven, you thought I'd close the service. And Miss Colston put her shoes on and rushed up to the organ bench, and Miss McKinney gets her papers out ready to walk down to the altar and do the work at the altar, and you folks that sneak out, you jumped up and headed for the doors, and I said, sit down! You look like a bunch of birds falling out of the sky back to your seats and so forth. Our Father which art in heaven. When you come to God, take off to God, you say, Our Father which art in heaven. By the time you get to that prayer, Our Father, he said, Our Father which is out of heaven. He's coming towards you. You're not saved this morning. You just start down the aisle. He'll come to meet you. He'll save you before you get to the altar. And we'll just get the Bible and show you what happened while you're on your way. You're a sinner this morning. You're living in sin. And you want forgiveness from God Almighty. You don't have to beg God to forgive you. God wants to forgive you 10,000 times more than you want forgiveness. God wants the fellowship restored 10,000 times more than you want the fellowship restored. You just say, God, I've sinned, and Lord, I forgive me. I'll guarantee you before you get there, I'll forgive me. You confess your sin. I'll forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Just admit it. You want to come to me and get close to me? God says, you just start and I'll meet you more than halfway. Then God says, if you will just fellowship with me and delight yourself in me, call unto me. God said, before you even get to what you're going to ask for, many times I can't wait to give it to you and you'll already have it. And other things that you don't even know about that you need and want, I'll let you have. Now the most beautiful of all, look at Luke 15:20. Oh, I couldn't wait to get to this one. About like God is about this one. Make it Luke 15:17. Page 1097. Luke 15:17. I'm going to read down through verse 19. I want you to join me on verse 20. I'll tell you when to join me. Look at Luke 15:17. This is the prodigal son now. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Read verse 20, please. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet great way off, you see that? Yet a great way off. Now let's start with that but there, but when. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Read verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You think the father gave him after verse 21 or after verse 20? Huh? Look back there. I'll read verse 20 for you. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And then verse 21 said, And the son said unto him, I have sinned against heaven and thy sight. You think the father forgave him before verse 21 or after verse 21? Oh, of course he did. He knew why the boy was coming home. He said, My boy's coming home. He said, I'm going to go meet him. And the Bible says that when he was a great way off, he didn't want to even see if he was sincere. But he's a great way off, he said. He said his father saw him. Why did he see it? He was looking. And that word means his father was saw him. Didn't mean he happened to have father's looking around and that's my son. Oh no. His father's been watching that road ever since his son left that road. Ever since that boy said, Father, give me my possession. Get that up with the inheritance that's mine. And I'm going to go to the far country. And the father saw him and waved goodbye with a broken heart. He'd been watching that road ever since that son left. And all of a sudden, one day, after all these long, many days, he was gazing. I think every day he'd go out and look and stand there and see, I wonder if my boy's coming home today. And finally, one day, he looked way down the road and said, there comes somebody. He's about the size of my boy. He walks like my boy. It's my boy. And his father takes off. When he was a great way off, and ran to him and had compassion on him and fell on his neck and kissed him. Brother, he was already forgiven. His sins were cleansed in the love of his father before he ever said, I've sinned. God jumped the gun again. I don't know what your condition is this morning. I do not know what your condition is. Maybe this morning you're in the first category. Maybe you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. You don't know if you died this morning, you'd go to heaven. If you died right now, you'd go to hell and burn in hell forever and ever and ever. He says, I don't believe in hell. You'll believe in hell just as soon as you die. I'll guarantee you for sure. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all those who forget God. The Bible says, then shall he say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed to everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. The Bible says, for the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The Bible says, and those not found written in the book of life were cast in the lake of fire. This morning, you'd say to you, I'm a sinner and I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus went to the cross and paid the penalty for me and substituted for me on the cross and died in my place and suffered my eternal hell. I think I'll walk down that aisle and trust him. You won't do it in that order. You'll trust him when you take off to the aisle. And you get in that aisle there, or that aisle, or that aisle, or that aisle, or that aisle, or that one, or that one, or those up there in the balcony. You just step out in that aisle. I'll guarantee you, you won't have to have the energy to walk the rest of the way. You take one step, you won't know you're walking the rest of the way. Heavenly Father will come to you, and he'll say, Father, our Father which art in heaven. Father said, if you won't say that, say it quick. I'm leaving right now. I'm heading for you. He comes and meets you. Or maybe this morning you're a child of God, but you've been living away from God. You've wandered far away from God. Now you're coming home. The paths of sin too long you trod. Now you're coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Heavenly Father is out there watching for you. He knows you've sinned. He knows you're away from him. He wants you back. He's watching the road that you left. He sees you as you come towards him, and he, great way off, he runs to meet you. Throws his arms around your neck, around you, and kisses your neck and has compassion on you. Or maybe this morning, you're not walking, living close to God. You're saved. You have no real unconfessed sin in your life, or as you know, but you're not close to him. Maybe the Christmas season took you away from him. Have you got your mind more on a Christmas tree and giving and buying and selling and going and seeing your loved ones and your family reunions and your presents and your decorations and your parties and your family get-togethers, and you got your eyes off Jesus? He said, get back to me. I want you to get close to me again. He said, if you'll just take off toward me, I'll meet you just as soon as you take off toward me. I'll meet you more than halfway. Carried her in my arms back to the little apartment. We sat down at the table. She had a meal prepared for me. My favorite food in those days. Sergeant Jack Hiles, United States Paratroopers, 386-406-79, serial number. Mama said, son, I got your favorite meal. In those days, my favorite meal was veal cutlets and gravy. Thickened gravy. I've often said if I ever drowned, I'd love to go in thickened gravy. Thickened gravy. What a way to go. And my favorite food in those days, veal cutlets, thickened gravy, green beans, sauerkraut. How that got in there, I don't know. Some angry German. But anyway, and banana pudding and hot biscuits. And there they were. And we sat down, and Mama at one end of the table, I was at the other end. Mama said, son, it sure is good to see you home. I've missed you. We've always been so close to each other, and this is the first time I've never spent one night away from my mama in my life until I went to the paratroopers in World War II, not one night. And I said, Mama, I believe you're better cook than you ever have been. She said, son, you're just saying that because you've been eating that army chow. No, Mama, you better cook than you ever have been. And we sat there, and she didn't eat. I said, Mama, aren't you hungry? She said, no. I'm hungry. I was. I got biscuit, pulled a piece off it with my hand and sopped it right through that thick gravy, and whoever the idiot was that said it's bad manners to sop, he's stupid. Show him the Bible to me. something about at the Last Supper. The Bible said, stop. Don't fight this book, brother. Man, I ate those veal cutlets. I mean, the batter was so thick and hot, you had to go an inch or two to get to the meat. I mean, Southern style. I mean, one veal cutlet like that would jump your cholesterol up 100 points. And you wouldn't mind. And I ate green beans and banana pudding like just Mama could make. And Mama just sat there and looked at her preacher boy. She said, I'm so glad you're home. Heavenly Father does look just like my Mama did. How long ago? Good night, how long ago? 44 years ago. God looks just like my Mama did, looking up to the streetcar to see if her soldier boy's going to get off the streetcar. When I took one step off that streetcar, not more than one, just one, she saw me get off that streetcar, and the first step I took, she began to run. And I saw her running toward me, and I was running toward her. And that's what God says he does. You run toward him, he'll meet you more than halfway. Our Father, oh, I'm not really through yet. Our Father which art in heaven, and then before it's all over, even so will your out of heaven Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. What a God. What a Savior. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father, I don't know why you want me so much. I don't know what you see in us. Undeserving, weak, frail, prone to wander, prone to failure. But what a wonderful, wonderful God you are.